John.
I asked Rick if I'd say a few words. I think I won't take up Rick's time or anything. I've been really studying the Bible pretty intensely lately, and this journey we have with God is just getting better and worse and better and worse. It's just a great journey, if you know what I mean. And it's great to be at the mountaintop, but we don't all live at the mountaintop all the time. We live down here in the valley, but we get refreshed at the mountaintop. And I've been in Jeremiah, I've been in for like the last month and a half, and he's talking in 12. He was talking about the, hey, God, why does the wicked prosper? Why did they do this? Why did they do that? And, everybody is trying to kill him, trying to do that. And he just had all this going against him. But his heart, he in Jeremiah, you see, he's two different people. He's one that he wants to, they ain't listening to you, God. They're not doing that. And the other one, he's saying, oh, God, forgive them, please. It's like he hated them, but he loved them. And so that started speaking in my life altogether. And as far as our church here as a family, and we were praying together and we're joining together, I know God wants to do something through us. I know that in my heart. I know each one of us have a place here, and I'm so excited for it. So each time everybody, not all of us can be ministers and pastors, but what God was speaking to me is every person where they're at, where you wake up tomorrow morning, every spot that you're ordained to minister from, that spot is your ministry. No matter where you're at, where you wake up, you're right there. And so I just wanted to share with you guys that we're all in full-time ministry together. And our love for each other grows stronger. And one of the faults is mine. I get so busy in my everyday life, and I forget to pray. I forget to pray for my family. I forget to pray for my pastors. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Two or three days will pass by, and it's been work. And it seems like the world kind of presses into you. I come to church, and, oh, I love you, Lord. I have a time of worship. And then all of a sudden I go home, and it's like, okay, it's not church anymore. And it's like sometimes the worlds are separated. One is church, and then we go to our secular life. Oh, and then I'll go back to church on Sunday. And it's definitely not that. And I know most of you know that. And so I think the Lord is telling us that each of us in our life to take a little more ground in each of our life, just a little bit. And what you were saying, I surrender it all. I surrender. And that's the key to it. Like you said, radical obedience. And doing that, it's, pick up that cross and that torture device. It's going to kill. John walks around thinking, I like that about him. But you know what? God says, none of your flesh pleases me. I want to work through you. It's through your weakness that my strength comes out. And so when we come to every day, when I think each one of us in our marriage, take ground in our marriage, in our workplace, in our everything, when bitterness starts to come in, when hatred starts to come in, all these thoughts start to come in, just remember what Jesus did for us and what we're supposed to do. Do you know what I mean? And take that ground. And I think once we push through that, with grace, there's such a fine line between love and hate. Grace gets so mad at me, and I well deserve. But what the thing she does is she knows how much I love her. And so that's about the church family. It doesn't matter, the little things I do, because she knows that I love her, and she can hang on to that. And this church loves you. And we love you. And the closer we get together, the more we bond together, the more we're open with each other and share things, that is going to spread out like you've never seen before. I just want to share that. Hope it made sense to you. Love you guys.
Well, that should fit in real well with the sermon that God gave me. Because the title is, Are You on Speaking Terms? And so I looked up the definition of that. That's actually what the Holy Spirit spoke to me today in getting ready. And it kind of went from there. And it says, to be on speaking terms, I looked up the definition of that. And it says, amicable or friendly with someone or one another, though perhaps in a guarded or superficial capacity. Often used in the negative to show that two people are estranged. Now, there's several things I want to bring out with this, but, you know, with God, we began our lives not on speaking terms. From the garden on, speaking terms were separated. In the Old Testament, prophets and priests were used to talk to God because there was a separation that happened when sin entered the world through Adam and Eve. When they did what they did by eating the fruit, doing what God said not to do, sin entered the world, and sin still does the same thing. It still separates us from God. It still causes us not to be on speaking terms. It still does the same thing today. And so, as believers, yes, we're forgiven. Yes, Jesus comes into our heart. Yes, He paid the price to put us back in right relationship with God and in on speaking terms with the Father. He did that. So that we don't have to go find a priest somewhere and we don't have to go find a prophet somewhere, because He is prophet, priest, and king. We go to Him, we ask Him to forgive us, and we're put right back in that place where we can talk to God ourselves. And we're back on speaking terms. But as believers, it's easy. I thought this was just really stood out to me. In the definition, it said, though perhaps in a guarded or superficial way. It is very easy as a Christian, a believer going to church, to come to God and think that we're, well, a couple of things in that. One, for it to become such in such a way that we're going to church, we're not speaking to God during the week ourselves. We're going to church for the pastor to be like the prophet or the priest, to have heard from God for us. That is easy to do. It is also easy to come in a guarded and superficial way. In a way that, I've come, I've done my duty, I went to church this week, I'm good. No, that's not enough. That is not on speaking terms. Because the goal of the whole thing is not to show up at church. The goal of the whole thing is that when we show up to church, we're already on speaking terms with God. We come into the church and we don't need someone to rile us up to love Jesus. We're already there. We're encouraging the person next to us because we're already talking to God. We're already in relationship. We're already on speaking terms. We're not guarded and superficial. No matter how long I've learned this lesson, no matter how long you've been a believer, you can become guarded and superficial. I have learned in life, especially growing up with my family, even, there are certain individuals, even, in life, that, and I'm going to just separate the family thing because it's a whole different issue. A whole ball of wax. We all know that. We all have family. We all understand that, okay? And I'm talking about my not Texas family. So, so there, y'all, you know, you guys don't get mad at me. So we can stay on speaking terms. It is easy to be guarded and superficial. And it happens through hurt. The church is a body of people, not a building, not a place. It is people. And when you gather together with people, people are people. If you've lived with someone for any length of time, you understand exactly what I'm saying. No matter how good the person is, there are going to be things. No matter how much you love or like them, there are going to be things that happen along the way that can cause you and me to become guarded and superficial. And we have to choose in those moments to say, no, I love that person, and I'm going to fight not to keep my guard up and not to be superficial. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself and let my guard down again and again and again. Is it hard? Does it hurt? Yes. Is it worth it? Absolutely. Because we're supposed to be on speaking terms, not just with God, but with others, with people around us. People that we need to forgive for things that they've done to hurt us. Because it happens. It happens in the church. It happens outside the church. It happens in our workplace. It's life. It happens in marriage. It is just how things are. It's what we do with it that matters. Whether or not we stay superficial and guarded, and we stay out of speaking terms, we choose to do that. We choose. You know what? It is wrong. There are different ways that people handle things. We all handle things in different ways. Some of us get angry when we're hurt, when we get into that place where we're not on speaking terms, and we lash out, we may yell, we may get frustrated, we may do things to hurt the other person. Some people get physically violent. Some people use a silent treatment. That is just as wrong as a slap in the face to me. I believe that. Why? Because that is saying that you're not worth the time to talk to. That is saying that you did wrong. You did so wrong. You don't even deserve for me to speak to you. That's like sticking your head up in the air and say, I don't even need to talk to you. It's wrong. That is guarded and superficial. And it causes the other person to be guarded and superficial. And it's not right. It's not right in our homes, among our neighbors, and it's not right in the church. It's not right anywhere. It's just wrong. It's ungodly. Whatever our reaction is to that, we have to choose love. Choose to love our neighbor. You know, I wanted to talk about King Saul tonight a little bit, just to use a reference for this. You know, King Saul was chosen and anointed by Samuel. Samuel was a man, and you can basically just the entire book of 1 Samuel, just read that if you want the scripture reference. It's just the entire thing. I have things chosen out of there that I will probably read, but the book of 1 Samuel is really the basis of everything I want to say tonight. Samuel had an encounter with God. He was a prophet. He was the first one to both be prophet and priest. He was the last judge of Israel, or of the age of judges. And so he transitioned this thing. And so Samuel, God, you know, the people of Israel wanted a king, and they, you know, basically God, it wasn't his idea or desire. Samuel was actually frustrated about it because he knew it wasn't right. And the people of Israel anyway, no matter what, said, we want a king. So God gave permission anyway to Samuel to anoint a king. And he chose Saul. He anointed him king. And Saul made quite a few mistakes. Saul, when he first started out good. He won victories for Israel, took down some of their enemies, won some great battles, did some good things, restored some things. And then along the way, he began to disobey God. Do you know, it's also here in 1 Samuel, and I want to just flip to that real quick. 1 Samuel 22, actually 15:22, it says, so Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Indicating that God is both concerned about obedience of our hearts and our actions. He's not saying, do this one and don't do that one. He's saying both are important. One's better than the other. One's more important than the other, but that don't mean this one over here is not important. The actions are important. So along the way, Saul begins to disobey God, begins to take things into his own hands, do things that he was told not to do, disobey direct orders. Because Saul, even, he still had Samuel, he still had a prophet telling him what God said. And so there was a few times where he just directly disobeyed that. He went out to the Amalekites to take them over and was told to completely eradicate them. Everything they had, just wipe them off the map. What did he do? He brought back their king and he brought back some of the best of their flock with the excuse of, I want to sacrifice this to God. This is a good sacrifice. No, that's not what he was told to do. The beginning of the point, let's just say it this way, the point in which we begin to separate ourselves from speaking terms is disobedience. When we know God said not to do something and we do it anyway, that's where it starts. And after several times of doing that, doing exactly what God said not to do, or what he really knew God said not to do or wouldn't want him to do, continually doing that continues to push us further and further into the guarded and superficial place, away from God, away from relationship. Yes, you can have given your heart and life to Jesus and have him in you, and you can do just like Saul. Start off good and end up over here. What gets you over here? Disobedience. Letting sin in little by little. John talked about taking ground. The enemy has a way of taking ground, little by little. God has a way of taking ground. The enemy copies it. Through sin and disobedience, the enemy takes ground. He gets us to do things that we know we're not supposed to do, whether it's written in Scripture or whether it's just him speaking to our hearts about something specific that he said, don't do that, don't go there. But there are clear things in the Word that we know not to do, yet sometimes we do them anyway. The great thing about it is this, we can get back on speaking terms with Jesus, with God the Father, through Jesus Christ. The great thing is that what Saul did not have, we have. You remember Saul even went so far. He tried to murder David. He sought him for years. He did all these terrible things. He even went to a medium and tried to conjure up Samuel's spirit. I mean, just basically going to, you know, Satan himself and trying to talk to Samuel. Should I do this? He got a direct word from it. If you do that, you're going to die. You and your family. You know, those who go with you. And he did. Exactly what he heard is exactly what happened. He was not on speaking terms with God when he was chasing David. He was not on speaking terms with God when he went and conjured up with the medium a spirit. He was not on speaking terms with God when he was in direct disobedience. It progressed. He got further and further and further away. But he was, at some point, toward the end there, when he went to the medium to seek out, talk to the spirit of Samuel, which is in question of whether it was or not. Not going there. He was on speaking terms with the enemy. So when we think, oh, we'll be all right. It's going to be fine. I love Jesus. Eventually, if we continue to disobey, sooner or later we find ourselves on speaking terms with the enemy, conveying his message instead of God's, spreading his gossip instead of the gospel, spreading his lies instead of the truth, spreading hurt instead of healing. We find ourselves in that place. We can find ourselves in that place. But it begins by becoming guarded and superficial. It begins in the place of hurt. Sometimes it doesn't even begin with hurt. Sometimes it just begins, we just stop praying. We just get so busy and focused on other things. But I'm going to tell you something. Even if it starts there, eventually you're going to get hurt, because life is life and people are people. And if you're hurt without Jesus, it's the same as being hurt with him. But at least if we're with him and on speaking terms, at least we have him to go to for that to be healed. So I'm encouraging you today that if you're not on speaking terms for whatever reason, whatever it is that you've done, whatever it is that you said, no, God, I'm not going to do that, or I don't want to do that, whatever it is that you're continuing to do, maybe it's little stuff along the way. I mean, for Saul, it started out at what seems small. He did this thing, and then this thing, and then this thing, and then suddenly, next thing you know, he's throwing a spear at David, trying to kill him, when David's trying to play the harp and calm him down, because he's being tormented by a demon. Then he goes even further by going and trying to get a medium to conjure up a demon spirit or whatever. It doesn't get better unless you get back on speaking terms with God. You're going to be on speaking terms with one or the other. It's your choice which one. Because there is a tug of war. And if you're not tugging with Jesus and tugging towards God and tugging towards being on speaking terms with him every day, then the enemy is pulling the other way. Always. There is not a time that he's not. He has eternity. Is he going to suffer in eternity? Yes, but he has eternity. And his goal is to kill, steal, and destroy. To pull us away from God. That's how he hurts God's heart. Pulling us, his prized possession, his love, his inheritance, away from him. That's how he does it. And maybe he doesn't do it in one big, you know, when we believe in Jesus and we know the truth, it doesn't happen in one big, usually it doesn't happen in one big trip. Hey, I fell into sin, like a deep, deep, big thing. I mean, even the ministers that fell that we know of, I could mention names and we know they've been on TV and we know all that. It didn't start with what came out on the news. It started somewhere along the way when the speaking terms stopped. When the speaking terms with God stops, sin starts. And it continues. And it grows. And it pulls. So wherever you are in that, if that's you here tonight, I just want to encourage you. Jesus is the way back. He came and he gave his life willingly. He suffered and he died for you and for me to be back in speaking terms with God the Father. So that we could turn to him and say, God, forgive me for lying. Forgive me for stealing. Forgive me for disobeying you. Forgive me for not praying. Forgive me for whatever. Forgive me. And the moment you say, Jesus, forgive me, wash me in your blood, you're restored into speaking terms. Forgiveness is granted. Get there and stay there. Because of Saul and what Saul was doing, you know, God raised up King David. Had Samuel go out and find him and anoint him king. Was not the one he expected. His brothers were much more likely to be the one chosen in appearance. But God wasn't looking for appearance. He was looking for the heart. So he found King David out in the field. You know, he called him in. The father did, Jesse. Basically the runt of the pack. Let me point something else out. You know, King Saul was chosen, and it says that he was anointed to be king, and he came among the prophets. And in 1 Samuel it says, that day that he came among the prophets, he also prophesied, and he was never the same man. That's before he messed up. Okay? There is a moment when we encounter God where we're never the same person. We have to guard that relationship with all diligence and with all our heart. Not be guarded and superficial with God, but guard that relationship. Guard that conversation and that friendship and that love. Guard that with everything in us. We have to guard it. But King Saul was never the same from that day. King David was anointed king. Come out of a field guarding sheep. Fighting lions and bears. We all know the story. But he came to the camp to bring his brothers some food, some lunch. And there's this giant taunting Israel, Goliath. And he's like, he's not going to do that. And he stands up to a giant, this small little guy. He doesn't even want the king's armor. Now, I just have to think. He's not the same person anymore, just like Saul. There is a point in our life when we encounter God where we're not the same person. If you've lost that point, get it back. Come to Jesus and get it back. You haven't lost it. He's still there. Saul didn't have that option. He didn't have Jesus to come to and say, forgive me, I've messed up. Please wash me and forgive me, cleanse me in your blood. He didn't have that. So to replace Saul, God had to raise up David. a man, as Scripture says, after God's own heart. So he raised him up to do things right. And he made his mistakes as well. But the one thing about David is this. We have a whole book of Psalms that we read weekly, where he's crying out to God in repentance, asking for forgiveness. See, that's the thing. That's the key. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me in your blood. Set me free. I don't want to do that thing anymore. I won't tell you no again. Repentance is asking his forgiveness, but it's also putting the thing back correct, making it right again, not doing it anymore, turning away from whatever it is. It says in 1 Samuel 19, actually, yeah, 19:19. I want to read this. It says, "Now it was told Saul, saying, take note." Now this is, mind you, when Saul is in pursuit of David. David has left Saul for his life. He's in pursuit of him. It said, "Now it was told Saul, saying, take note, David is in Naoth in Ramah. Then Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the group of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as leader over them, the Spirit of God came upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when Saul was told, he sent another group of messengers, and they prophesied likewise. Then Saul himself Then Saul sent messengers again a third time, and they prophesied also. Then he also, Saul, went to Ramah and came to the great well that is at Sekou. So he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And someone said, indeed, they are in Naoth in Ramah. So he went there to that place. Then the Spirit of God was upon him also. Saul, who is far off, pursuit of David, going after him, he sent three different sets of messengers who all started prophesying when they got close. Then Saul himself comes close. He's already thrown a spear at David. He's after his life. He gets close, and he's prophesying too. It says, then he also stripped off his clothes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all day and all night. Therefore, they say, is Saul also among the prophets? That is a crazy, crazy picture. David at that time was on speaking terms with God. So even his greatest enemy, the king of Israel, could not touch him. He sent three sets of messengers who all, when they got close, encountered the Holy Spirit and began to prophesy. Then Saul himself comes and falls into the same thing, and even more so, in an embarrassing way. Like, I think God was definitely teaching him a lesson. I'm in charge. You're not. And this is my guy who I've chosen to replace you in your disobedience. He's on speaking terms with me, and you're not going to touch him. In fact, you're going to speak all night what I want you to say. No matter what, when we're on speaking terms with God, no matter what the enemy sins against us, no matter what he sins against us, when it gets close, we can be in such a place that we stand no matter what. That we stand against the trials, that we stand against the attacks, the messengers, those who come to bring gossip that come to bring false accusation, those who come to do harm, those who come to steal, things that come to steal finances or trouble or whatever it is, whatever he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, once it comes into the realm of the Holy Spirit, we're on speaking terms with God, we're in right relationship with him, then there is a protection with that. Sometimes are we touched? Yes, sometimes. But there's always, always a time where we get back up, and there's always a time, I believe, where our enemies fall and prophesy what God once said. Begin to say the things that they don't want to say because they're not coming for the right reasons. They're not coming from God. They're not coming for our good. But God is always for our good. He's always for us. He's always, always wanting to be on speaking terms with you and me. He always wants to be in that relationship. That's something that we have to guard daily, and that's something that we have to keep. So I want to share this with you tonight. If you would, stand up. During this message tonight, if you are in a place where the speaking terms have changed, where you feel like you're guarded and superficial, then tonight's the night where you break that off. I'm not going to ask you to come up here and embarrass you. I'm just going to ask you to bow your head and talk to God yourself. Speak to him. Ask him to forgive you for whatever it is you've done or not done. And then go home tonight and set it right. Go home out of this place tonight and don't go back to whatever it is. Don't be like Saul and continue to go the wrong direction. But go back and set the thing on its right course. Let your heart be in such a place that you're in pursuit of God. When you leave this building tonight, when you go out that door, you're going after Jesus and Jesus alone. And you're in obedience to him. And you choose tonight not to disobey. And you choose tonight to restore and ask Jesus right now. Pray it with me. Jesus, forgive me. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me for my sin. Forgive me for any disobedience and set my feet back in a right place with you. Restore my relationship with the Father. Put me back in direct speaking terms with the Father God. Tonight, right here, right now, put me in speaking terms with God the Father. Now say, God, forgive me. Put me back in that place where I'm a different man or woman, where I'm a different person. Put me back in that place that you've called me to be. Put me back in that place that you have destined me to be. Put my feet back on solid ground. And if my feet are on solid ground, plant them even stronger. In Jesus' name. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we bless you. Jesus, I ask you that you would do exactly that for everyone who's asked tonight. And if you're in a place right now where the decision is hard, that's a good indication of the speaking terms thing. Maybe there's some distance right now. Need to close that gap and say, Jesus, forgive me. Don't leave here tonight without doing it. Don't leave here tonight with that distance still there. Don't leave here tonight without forgiving someone. Don't leave here tonight without being forgiven yourself. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my heart, wash me and cleanse me, and put me back on solid ground with the Father God. Because that's what he came to this earth to do, and that's what he came into your heart to do. Let him restore that. You know, the devil has that tug of war thing I talked about earlier, and he's pulling. That's what that distance thing is. He's pulling, trying to pull across a line, trying to pull your heart, your mind away from God. But let me encourage you tonight. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then if you should choose, you pulling on the other end of that rope. So choose tonight not to pull against God, but with Him. Choose tonight to pull with Him and to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we're obedient, our action, our actions will follow that. That's why both are important. So Father God, we just ask you right now in Jesus' name that you let this message resonate in our hearts and minds tonight, that we would leave here and do something with it, that we would leave here and make sure that we're on speaking terms with you every single day, no matter how busy we are, no matter what life throws at us. In Jesus' name, amen.